Time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger, editor and publisher of the Timber Jay. That's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Marshall, good to talk to you again.
Well, happy to be here, Heidi.
Let's talk about some of the top stories you guys covered this week, including the city of Tower dodging a financial bullet. This has to do with that LCCMR grant and some of the difficulties in the city government, but an amendment has been accepted. Fill us in on this.
Yeah, this was a big deal for the city. This grant had originally seemed like it was going to be a good thing, allow the city to construct a walkway around the harbor and then also connect the harbor area up by paved trail to the Mesabi Trail. So it was a good project. It also had aspects like some historic signing for signage so people could read a little bit about the history of the tower area as they were walking around. It also had a kayak trail. So there were a lot of good elements to this project, but it really ran aground, I guess, as a result of mismanagement. And the city, apparently without the council even being aware, and certainly the state, the LCCMR was never aware, the former city clerk treasurer and the project engineer had made a number of changes in this project. And, of course, those, if you're going to make any significant change in a project that's funded through the LCCMR, you need to get approval for that. You have to go through an amendment process. Well, the former clerk treasurer never did that. And also she had submitted a couple of update reports when the LCCMR hadn't heard anything, and the clerk was supposed to be submitting quarterly reports. And so they had contacted her to find out what was going on because they hadn't seen anything. And then she told them things were progressing just fine, didn't say anything about any changes, and then actually submitted a report that turned out to have some false information in it as well. So there were a lot of issues, and we had taken note of some of the discrepancies between the original work plan that was approved by the LCCMR and then the project as it was bid out by the city last fall. And so we had reported on that at the time, and the LCCMR got wind of that, and they started asking questions. And in the end, they realized that this project had really gone off the rails, and they had not told the city that they weren't going to reimburse for a substantial amount of expenses that had already been incurred by the city. It was about $324,000 that was on the line for the city. And just to give you an idea, I mean, that's about equal to the city's annual property tax levy. So this was a big chunk of money to the city that they had already expended and were then looking at the possibility of not getting it reimbursed. Well, fortunately, the city does have an experienced grant person who's actually volunteered to help and did a tremendous amount of work to kind of put the pieces back together on this project and figure out how to achieve the original goals of the project. And in the end, although it's almost unprecedented by the LCCMR, they approved last week a retroactive amendment to this project. And in doing so, they authorized the release of the $324,000, so the city will get reimbursed for that. And I mean, this dodges a, you know, almost deadly financial bullet for the city. I mean, they were facing the prospect of having great difficulty even making payroll here by March had they not gotten this funding. So this was a huge shot in the arm, and so now it also looks like they're going to be able to tap some additional money that had been approved as part of a second phase of this project, which the LCCMR had put on hold, and they'll be able to get that done by the fall of 2021. And so we will get that eventual trail connection to the Mesabi Trail, and this project will get done. Our kayak route will get signed and everything. So in the end, it should work out, and the city will get most of the money that it had thought it was going to get, although there was a miscalculation by the former clerk treasurer that ended up costing $120,000, and that's money they won't get back. But, you know, they can live with that. But obviously this decision by the LCCMR was a huge relief to city officials in Tower.
Yeah, you know, so many projects have hiccups along the way, but...
And, you know, the interesting thing about it is the best policy when you have hiccups on a project is to be honest about it.
Sure.
You know, because, I mean, you know, the funders generally aren't, they want to spend that money, you know, they've approved it.
Right.
They want the projects to be successful. You just need to level with them. But that just wasn't the way things worked at City Hall here for, you know, quite some time. But now I think the fact that the LCCMR did approve this means that, you know, the confidence has been restored now that the city's in a position, has the right people in place, that they can, you know, bring this project forward successfully and have it all closed out, you know, the way it should be.
That's good to hear. And let's move into another story you did that's good news for the area as well. Border-to-border grant program. The projects were awarded funding, so there's going to be some good internet for folks. Where and what will it be like?
Yeah, well, this actually affects a bunch of northern Minnesota, north central Minnesota in particular. There was funding announced for the Boyce Fork Band, and this includes four parts of their reservation, Net Lake and the Vermilion Reservation, as well as a couple smaller sections known as Palmquist and Indian Point. So this will bring 100 meg per second download speeds and I think 20 meg upload speeds to those areas. And most of those areas were either unserved or very underserved by the current provider in those areas. So this is a big shot in the arm for those areas. And then also there's a project involving Paul Bunyan Communications, and that includes much of Couchiching County, parts of the Leech Lake Reservation, I believe parts of Itasca County as well, and then a small portion of St. Louis County, including Morecambe Township, which is a township that we cover. And thanks to the efforts of their township clerk, Sasha Leto, they took a very proactive approach to this and went for this money and to be part of this bigger project with Paul Bunyan. And they got it done, and now they're going to have fantastic speeds. In fact, this project through Paul Bunyan, they're going to have 1 gig per second speeds up and down, which is just really incredible. So, I mean, this is going to be like, you know, major city downtown kind of speeds here out in these rural areas, which is just going to be a huge boon to folks out there. So I know once this all gets done, there's going to be a lot of excitement. And these projects are, you know, they're fairly substantial. It costs money, obviously, to provide this kind of service out to, in these rural areas. You know, the Paul Bunyan project between the city or the state funds and then the local matches involved, it's about a $10 million project. And the Boys Fort project, including the local matches, about $3.75 million. And then these grants are all coming out of that border-to-border program that the state has been funding in recent years. And there should be more grants coming next year, and obviously we'll be reporting on that because there are probably some other communities in our area, I believe, that are working towards getting that funding.
All right. Let's move on to, we talk Polymet quite often, but you've been following a case that's in Ramsey County where testimony is being heard. What has happened there?
Yeah, well, and we're reporting on this through our news partner at MinnPost. They've been down actually at this hearing, and these hear this. It's actually not a hearing; it's like a trial almost. They're calling witnesses, submitting documents, and it could go as long as 10 days. So it's a lot involved in this. But what's happening here is the Court of Appeals had remanded this issue back to the district court in Ramsey County to basically investigate allegations that had been made by EPA whistleblowers that the MPCA, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, had asked the EPA at the federal level, had asked them not to submit written comments on a permit that they were proposing for PolyMet. This was their water discharge permit. And the EPA had some significant concerns with it. It had raised questions about whether it complied with the Clean Water Act and also questions about its enforceability. And the MPC apparently did not want that those concerns expressed in writing. And they actually on Tuesday, and the first day of the hearing, the former head of the or one of the top officials anyway at the U.S. EPA in the Great Lakes office, Kevin Pirard, he testified that in fact that was one of the concerns that was raised by top PCA officials, was that they didn't want the press to find out that the EPA had significant concerns with this permit. And that was one of the reasons that they wanted them to not submit anything in writing. And this Pirard said that this was highly unusual. He said, in fact, he'd never had a state make this kind of a request before. So this was obviously disturbing. Perhaps more disturbing was the revelation that came out on Tuesday as well, that the computers that were used by the former commissioner, John Linkstein, and the former head of the mining sector for the MPCA, Ann Foss, that both of their computers had been wiped of all their documents. And that appears to be a violation of the MPCA's data retention policy. It may be a violation of state law, and also raises questions about, you know, why was this done? They clearly knew that you know, some of the materials on there could be subject to data practices requests and could be possibly relevant in litigation. So there, there's some concerns about that. Obviously, some of the environmental groups that are challenging it, this permit, they had requested access to those MPCA computers, which the court had granted them. But then when they went to actually try to get the information from these computers, that's when they learned that they had been wiped. And in fact, in the case of the commissioner, the former commissioner, it had not only been wiped but also destroyed. And we're not really sure yet on, you know, how that happened, why that happened. But it certainly raised the specter of, and certainly the some of the environmental group attorneys suggested this was an attempted cover-up by the MPCA to try to destroy this evidence. So a lot of interesting stuff obviously came out just in the first day of this hearing, and it could go on for, well, it's certainly supposed to go on to the end of this week and then well into next week. So there may be some more interesting revelations to come.
Hmm. Well, before we go, Marshall, we should talk snow a little bit. I know a lot of people I know are frustrated. There's so much work involved with removal, you know, little sidewalks, roofs. I mean, there's so much out there. How are things going up there?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. It's been the talk of the town here in recent days, because we had about a foot of snow last weekend on top of, you know, already plenty of snow. And the question now is, especially in town, is where are you going to put all this stuff? I mean, people are fighting over, you know, parking spaces and things like that, because the roads have gotten narrow. The alleys are, you know, practically impassable at times. And so, yeah, it's a big challenge. Fortunately, it doesn't look like there's any in the immediate forecast, any more snow, and a little bit milder temperatures anyway certainly makes it a little more bearable. But it's been great for the winter recreation. I mean, snowmobile trails are in fantastic shape. Snowshoeing is great right now. Skiing is good. So, you know, all in all, I think most people are kind of happy to at least have sufficient snow to get out there and play in.
Yeah, and the snowplow drivers settled their contracts?
They did in St. Louis County, and that was a huge sigh of relief. I think that big storm that came in over the weekend kind of convinced both sides that maybe we better not do this. The implications were obviously there. We had a lot of county roads, including our county road that we live on. It's a gravel road, and that didn't get plowed for about 3 days. And, with the foot of snow sitting on there, it's a little tough to get around.
Yeah.
So, there were a lot of challenges like that, and I think everybody in St. Louis County is happy to have the drivers back on the job.
And there'll be plenty of snow for the snow sculptures coming up in Ely, right?
There will be, and hopefully we don't end up with, too warm of conditions here.
Right.
That can cause a problem as well.
That's right. When is the Winter Festival? It's coming up in
February?
That'll
be starting in early February.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds great. That's Marshall Helmberger. He's the editor and publisher of the Timber Jay. You can read and see more at timberjay.com. We'll check in next week. Thanks, Marshall.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.